Welcome to the Brain Exchange Podcast. This has been a while since the last episode.
Yeah, you already apologised for that, though.
In a separate post. So. Today we've got Blair with us.
Hello.
Hi, Blair.
Hello.
He's from Melbourne.
Melbourne.
so he tells everyone.
I expect to hear a lot of Melbourne propaganda. So if you like Melbourne, stop listening.
We should just bleep the word Melbourne.
You should probably should.
Every time he says
it. It'll be, says it. Well, in Melbourne we have, well, yeah. In Melbourne there is a,
I saw a picture of Melbourne, it looked pretty nice, but you know.
It's pretty nice.
I don't like it.
I mean, but the weather isn't as good as Perth.
Look kind of like England, like in every way.
Yeah, it does a bit.
But what do you mean, every like, way?
Big city.
Big city, old what? Buildings, like in that style.
Because the city raining. Itself looked like the whole country of England, or just...
Yeah, yeah. It looks really big in the picture. I was like right up next to the monitor. What
was it, like 5,000 times 4,000 resolution, or...?
It's zooming in like 4 pixels, like these pixels look about the same.
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, really big difference. Ones.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I don't hate Melbourne, but I do hate it when I tell talking to Blair, because I need to make sure, because he hates Perth so much.
I don't hate Perth, it's just I'm sick of it.
But you hate Perth because I hate Melbourne.
You started it, right?
He's just come back from Melbourne, he knows how much I hate it, and he buys me an I Heart Melbourne shirt for Christmas.
Best Christmas present ever. It was walking. I walk into the Vic Market, which is in Melbourne, and...
is it better than the Fremantle Market?
Oh, yes.
This is going to be the worst podcast.
And I say, I'm going to get Michael a I Love Melbourne t-shirt. And lo and behold, there's one there for $8. So I just picked that shit up.
So we did have a topic of debate, which was which is the reason why Blair flew here, actually.
Yeah. We actually paid. The Brain Exchange paid for him to come over here.
Just
as
to talk
an expert
about.
Talking on this subject.
All $2 service. Of their donation. Oh, sorry, one beer and a night's sleep at under shelter.
Yeah, so I thought that was reasonable.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I would have given him.
It was basically on national service. So maybe Blair wants to introduce us to the topic.
Well, national service is just a more patriotic way of saying conscription. And Michael and I were having a discussion after the recent election saying how random sort of parties got elected and the, what was it, 1.2 metre long ballot paper and the the Motoring Enthusiast Party gets elected.
Toilet paper for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I said I might run in politics next election. You should be my Perth representative. And
the one said, policy you're no better than the motoring party, except at least you have something you stand for, which is national service.
You have one policy,
cars, man.
And Michael says, what's your policy? Oh, compulsory national service. And this straight away I get ... I'm not voting for you. And then a kind of topic went up and we were discussing in rather vulgar terms.
Out of curiosity, why do you actually want national service? We never got around to...
Well...
It was through a delinquent.
Yes, it is very
but
much
it was basically based around the whole idea of delinquents, so...
Yes. Do you have, you know, solid backing for, like, thinking that national service will solve delinquency?
Well, there is proof back in of countries that currently use national service and or conscription, where varying from 2 years in Singapore and Malaysia to 1 year, I think it is, in Scandinavia. It might be 2. I'm not actually sure about that. And Germany and Austria. Well, actually, Germany is currently scrapping their national service because it's too expensive for the country to...
And it's too expensive for Germany, it's too expensive for everyone.
But they had a 2-year policy.
See, I kind of trust Germany with money.
Gina
Reinhardt
said it was too expensive.
Yeah. And that was mainly because they have to carry all of other Europe through their financial
But
crisis.
In principle, does it actually, like, does national service actually reduce delinquency?
Well, if you have a look at the generation gap between our generation and the generation above and the one above that, where they actually got conscripted into the army for national service and everything, for Vietnam. Sorry, not national service, because that's the same thing. They get conscripted, and you see the rights of criminal activities and stupid shit like vandalism of national monuments and stuff like that. You actually see that it does have an impact on it.
But in modern times, like since that time, the rates of pretty much all violent crime has gone down. So maybe national service increases rape and murder by your standards, like,
well,
of evidence.
Potentially could, but delinquents...
Who's to say that's a bad thing?
But delinquents don't really just go rape and pillaging. They more just tag and stab and mug. And drink coffee with beards in hipster cafes.
Yeah.
The one thing I thought is, I remember watching a show in America, and basically they provide a scheme to delinquents that end up land themselves in jail underage, and they could join under kind of a national service thing in a bid to get out of their jail time.
The Marine Corps. That is what the Marine Corps is. Mm. Everyone that serves life prison sentences get the option to join the Marine Corps. So you can be a mass murderer and just be like, well, Mr. Judge Man, I think I would rather not take
the... I'd rather murder the terrorists.
Yeah, I think I would rather
Clearly
take...
Clearly I have murder skills.
I think I would be a prime candidate for the Marine Corps. And it straightens them up
can
to the point.
Can you get anything with that?
I think it has to be severe crime. But don't quote me on that. Like, because in America, they have a three-strike.
Quoting him on it.
I'm going to go to America, committed a severe crime, and then
join the Marine Corps.
Told me I could.
They have a three-strike system in America where you can, for example, do shoplifting.
You can rape one baby, rape another baby, then send
in
the
third
one. And then
it's life prison.
Where, yeah.
Yeah. So you can do shoplifting, go to jail or whatever it is for 6 months, and then Grand Theft Auto, go to jail again. And then you could do something petty like lift someone's purse. And if you do it the third time, you go to jail for life.
Is that's not all states, though. Isn't that a controversial law that only some states have?
The majority of it.
Really?
But in some...
We're going to pull Wikipedia up. We can check it. But
I'd imagine a lot of America has laws to do with maximizing military force and minimizing crime.
But, you know, look at how well that's going for them at the moment. But I won't blame that on their military service. I'll blame that on the Tea Party.
But I think at its core, that does kind of respond to your thing, and that maybe we should... Like, it's not fair that someone like me has to be filtered through that process if I don't want to.
Yeah, but
I'm not out there tagging national monuments.
I don't know, you're a bit of a delinquent, Michael.
Look at you, sitting here with a beer in your hand.
Over the age of 18, I'm like, yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. But you did Army Cadets with me, and that set us up to where we have a base sort of level of discipline and self-respect and stuff like that.
And we're even sitting higher than him.
Yeah.
Look at him with his long hair and beard. What is this?
See, I didn't do any kind of military stuff. That's why I've grown long hair.
And that's why you're a delinquent.
Exactly. Never going anywhere in life.
But you see it, and you have these things, and you have the what are they called, where the rehabilitation programs that have a low success rate of younger people. Like in certain parts of Australia, if you are caught graffitiing, you go to... you go to court and then you get community service for however long and you get fined, whatever it is. I think it's $500.
Mm.
And then you can go out and do it again with a big smile on your face. Now, why don't we have a more severe punishment? I mean, you ask some elderly people of the community and they say, send them out into the middle of the desert and tell them to dig a hole. And then when they've dug them,
increased trade. Yeah.
And then when they've dug,
the Chinese will smuggle stuff through.
Yeah. People smuggling on boats, try getting them under our tunnels.
In a way, it just highlighted to me that whether or not national service would work kind of highlights a big issue that maybe our interventions for things like this should actually be based on some kind of evidence rather than just like a politician being like, this seems like a good way to punish people.
Yeah.
that's a very good point. And I think like if the evidence did suggest that National Service would, you know, do something of some, it'd be so unlucky to get in that trial run. Like, okay, we're trialing one sample of 18-year-olds. So you 300 people are getting National Service. Just like, fuck.
God damn it.
Or alternatively, we could just make it compulsory for everyone to own Armour 2 on their
at least make it, at least give them some slack and give them Armour 3, man. That engine is so bad.
It'd be like medieval England. Like, everyone has to practice their longbow skills. Everyone has to go practice their Armour 3.
It's so
deep. Well, how much stuff can I fit in my Alice pack? Gets the real life, gets an Alice pack. I thought this only had 18 slots. Why is there only one big thing in my bag?
So the engine of that game was ridiculous. It's like
gets in the tank. Where's the mouse?
No, in the horizontal and vertical look speeds are different to simulate the realness of looking around in real life. It's like when I exert energy to look up and down, it doesn't do it like half as fast as I'm looking side to side. Like it's like this. It's like, you know,
so just they right can't see you. But you got to remember, you're actually wearing a helmet as well, so that would be nice.
You can only adjust it by manually configuring your mouse to have different sensitivities.
But you've also got like the free look, so you can have your gun pointing forward and you move your head so far before the gun actually moves on right, which is probably the most annoying thing in the history of FPS games when you try to shoot someone to your left, but only your head moves and not your gun.
No, you have to see them kill you.
Yeah.
Oh. And sometimes games that bid to be so realistic end up actually just being stupid. Like, in principle, their ideas are good, but when you actually implement them to a game, it ruins the meta game.
Like, I mean, Red Orchestra 2 is a prime example. That game, in my opinion, is fantastic. It's a World War II Russian, German, and Japan-American sort of World War II game. And it is a simulator in some aspects, but it gets to the point in that game where someone can just be sitting on top of a nice grassy knoll with a nice Mosin Nagant, which is a ridiculously large bullet shooting you from 200 meters every time you walk out of your respawn, and you don't know where that is, and they don't have to hit you in the head or the chest. They hit you with I think it's a 309. I think it's a 309 round, which is some ridiculously large bullet that hits you in the leg. You're down. You don't get back up. And it gets to the point in that game where you've died the past five times, you say, nah, fuck this, leave game.
It's kind of, I wish they had like...
That's what the National Service will be like. Some Russian sniper just shooting you.
Yeah, there's a guy that I knew in the Singapore, oh no, Korean National Service. Obviously I need it in Korea, but...
Oh, really?
In South Korea. But he said...
I don't need it in North Korea.
One of his friends was in the dormitory... And in good old Korean psycho fashion, this guy just comes in and just, like, sprays the room and just kills, like, seven people. And none of them wanted to be in National Service anyway. And then he was just like, fuck that, I'm going to Australia. And then some moved to Australia.
He probably just watched Full Metal Jacket.
Or was living Full Metal Jacket.
Living it in real life.
I don't think you can hold up Koreans as an example of, like, regular humanity.
Because aren't they like...
It's not a normal place.
Our reductio ad Korea.
Aren't they the most xenophobic race in the world? Like, they literally walk out of a store if a black person is in it. Not because they're racist towards black, because they don't know what they are.
You are not Korean. I can't trust you. Not dealing with that.
Well, when I was there, in a bid to make me as a Westerner, my host family, feel comfortable, every night they'd cook me spam, which I liked. But it just wasn't really the epitome of Westernized meals for me.
Spam.
It was like,
spam.
What
spam,
do Westerners spam. Eat? Spam.
So I just got spam every night. And like, I got it with other stuff. But it was just breakfast, spam, lunch, spam. Dinner. There was a can of spam waiting for me.
To quote Monty Python, I don't like spam!
But the weird thing was the family was eating it in some kind of like cross-cultural appreciation and being like, "Oh, very nice food you've got, Michael. But really, I never eat Spam. Like, very rarely." Like,
yeah. Well, anyway, back on the topic of Germany not being able to fund the program.
Yeah. I'm worried that we're already trying to cut back on our budget in Australia. Do we actually want to fund national service?
Yes, well, the rehabilitation programs would, you would lose them and the money would go back into the community. But you would do a 6-month program of everyone who's over 18 would go in and they'll learn basic training. This is just my, my philosophy of what Australian national service should be, because A, you don't lose a whole year. B, you can still travel if you want. C, it's not really kicking you out of your study routine because it is only 6 months. We're not talking 2 years. The pricing, the amount of people that would be going through would be a lot cheaper because you only have to do half a year's worth of 18-year-olds at a time.
But I guess I was watching a documentary on the Air Force and they were trying to justify the billions of dollars spent on Australian national defence. And it was kind of like, is there actually enough of a threat to Australia to justify spending this? And like, I agree that in principle, some part of me agrees it's like maybe providing some kind of training for, you know, people entering might be beneficial. But military training, especially like part of it is having some like armed force. Is that, I'm not saying that maybe a military styled regime training may not be the...
A little bit of an autocracy. Like,
can we actually justify it being all army when it's unlikely?
Well, it could be Navy or Air Force if you want it to be.
Just a 6-month stint as a Top Gun pilot. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, but just, I mean, just chuck them in the old F-111. Like, have a fly around. Like,
the last report...
Afterburners.
Finally bring up afterburners.
The last report I read, I think it was maybe... 5-6 years ago on our current army state is the current Army, Navy and Air Force, there's only enough men in those regular army and the reserves to defend half of New South Wales and like I think it was a fifth of South Australia all the way down to the bottom of Victoria, and if you really want you can defend Tasmania, but it's not that important.
I also read
Melbourne will be safe, so it's alright.
Yeah, that's alright.
But I also read something that was saying that the amount of manpower needed to overtake the entire continent of Australia will be so large that it's like inconceivable in the future. Like,
that's why Australia's armed forces is formed based around a infantry rifle and light armored vehicles. Because to be honest, if we were invaded, our only places to be invaded from would be the top, the northwest of WA and the top of Queensland and Northern Territory, Darwin-ish area, and we would give that ground up. We would probably do the scorched earth policy.
We don't care about that.
Yeah, we don't care. It's already deserted and there's nothing there. Okay, you can have that raw minerals, but we'll get the Americans to sink your ships.
Question. Would the Indonesian people acknowledge the Aboriginal land? And would it become like this chain? So it's like, we acknowledge the original owners of this land, the ex-Aboriginal tribe. We also acknowledge the white people that once owned this
land. Yeah. And we say sorry for kicking you out of your homes and taking you to re-education camps.
That'd be great.
And now it's just,
there's just a couple white people living in trailers.
And then eventually they get kicked out and then we apologise to the Indonesians.
Oh, they're right here, aren't they?
So hard.
Not being racist. I promise.
Not Blair.
Welcome to the Brain Exchange.
Yes. But I mean, people would also complain of the non-combat, saying, oh well, I don't want to touch a gun, I don't believe in that sort of aspect of what have you done. I don't believe in that sort of aspect.
So
of,
let them play armor.
So let them play armor, but they wouldn't believe in that anyway. So is the alternate way was, oh, do community waste programs. Well, how about you just focus on what Scandinavia and Germany and Austria do. Well, not Germany anymore. What Austria did was just say, you do the basic training with all the other soldiers or recruits, and when that's done, you can go work in a different field as a clerk,
but I don't
a
see cleaner what the,
or something, but you still get that basic discipline installed. And another argument against
I think it comes back to, like, is there evidence that there's the only way to instill discipline? Oh, like, running the assumption this is even needed,
yeah,
which I kind of doubt.
I think your whole argument is, like, assuming that we need national service, this is how it would be good.
Hang on. I'll just read it from what it's written, from what I wrote.
The whole thing.
Not the whole thing. No,
that was a wall of text.
No wall of text.
Just saying, it's designed to work for the people of our generation. It's a 6-month national service deal, as long as you're 18. You get to choose from Army, Navy, Air Force.
You're just advertising it to us.
This is my idea. Hey. I want Air Force. Shotguns.
Once you decide and you do your basic training, then you spend the rest of your time doing basic stuff around bases, such as cleaning stores, stock take, cooking, etc. Yes. And going on basic bivouacs throughout the time. And then the program will be provided to all people with a stable wage. And will provide a stable wage,
Would you do it if you got $80,000 a year for doing it? That'd be a pretty good kickstart. I'd pay off your hex.
That'd be $40,000
a year. Yeah, it would be slightly less, but it would be around $20,000.
Just pay.
it's not going to happen. Current Navy recruits, I think, get paid. My friend just joined the Navy. I think he's getting paid $8 an hour. But that doesn't, like, that's not 8 to 5. That is 24 hours a day, he's getting paid $8 an hour. So it actually, at the end of it, when you're getting
free accommodation. So he's getting $16 an hour for 12 hours work.
But he's getting free accommodation, free food, free healthcare, all that sort of stuff.
So they couldn't so much afford to do that if there was national service and they had to pay all these extra people something. They couldn't pay as high a wage.
I just think it should be...
Well, they wouldn't because they're not on the same level as a regular soldier.
So you're saying it's going to be worse than $8 an hour.
But why would you need more money than that?
I guess
prisoners in our jails get paid more than some... Well, they don't get paid more, but in the long run... Someone.
Wait, you can get paid for being
a prisoner? You get paid in jail.
What the hell am I doing sitting around here?
What is it? It's like $3 an hour or something.
But you have to work, but you still can get paid.
Yeah, you can be a librarian. You can be a librarian and get paid $3 an hour for the whole time you're there.
I could get paid more than that as a librarian outside of
prison. Can you, though?
I think.
Can you?
Yeah.
Isn't it voluntary?
$3 an hour. No, you get
free food and accommodation.
Free
Fuck national service. Let's just promote prison.
Everyone, when they turn 18, 6 months of prison and then back onto the streets.
Yeah.
Harden everyone up.
And they'll start selling crack.
We'll get a lot of contacts. So let's conclude up here. Ben, what is your view on what we've just... No, we're not finishing. I want to move on to
Pokemon.
We're
not finishing, we're just concluding. I want to move on to
Pokemon, okay?
Yeah, but we haven't even got in it. We haven't even tickled the surface.
We
haven't even done the tickle service, okay?
We'll come back to it after we discuss Pokemon in brain exchange fashion. No doubt someone will bring it up, but I want to hear about Pokemon.
All right.
Okay, I've ruined the podcast.
You ruined it when you brought Blair on.
Restart.
I just want to hear about Pokemon.
But you didn't conclude.
Okay, Ben, what do you think? Okay, we'll conclude, then have adjoining statements.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ.
What do I think about national service? I think it's not actually that bad an idea, but I don't really agree with compulsory national service. I believe more in freedom to do what you want with your life. Like, government shouldn't make you do anything beyond the necessary, like, you have to pay taxes or we can't run the country.
So you got libertarian.
Hardcore libertarian.
And you?
I'm kind of undecided. Like, I agree with Ben that I think freedom should be important. But at the same time, I also think, just from my experience in Army Cadets, that there was, I think, some individuals that would certainly significantly benefit from being forced into a program like that. And I don't know whether there's enough evidence or the cons of doing that outweigh the pros.
But I
do see...
You're asking to force everybody into something that will benefit some people.
Which is what I think is like, is why I'm like, that's why I'm not saying, I'm not going to give my yes on the vote just now. But I do see where players come
from. It would benefit the vast majority of people with the fact that you are getting life skills. You are getting stuff that will benefit you, even if you don't necessarily need them. Now, let's not forget, if you're starting...
if you don't need them, it will benefit you.
All right. Does your dad know how to... Like, you go camping. Would your dad know how to do all the shit you need to do for camping and stuff?
Not my dad.
Yeah, well...
Would your dad?
Yes. He would. Just, but now, you would know all the stuff you need to do for camping if your kids ever need to go camping.
Mm.
And you would remember it. I mean, it might be a bit hazy.
What if you're not into camping?
I don't know. Okay. My dad knew what to do for camping and he was never in.
It's an example of these life skills you could possibly learn.
I could also learn that in the Scouts, though.
Yeah.
Which is kind
of... Well, we learned it as cadets, but Scouts is a military form.
That's what I'm saying. It's
military-ish.
Ish.
My other programs could still offer similar incentives and benefits and doesn't have to be... I think if you suggested, like, on weekends for a year when you're in first year uni, it's compulsory to go on some kind of learning experience program, I think it would be received with much more, and one of them could be military.
But what would your opinion be if you were starting uni straight off, you only had to do the basic training? A, it would get your fitness up if you, like, you would do the 6 weeks of basic training or whatever it is, you get your fitness up, and you go to uni... And then once a month you had to go participate to keep you there. And so you get to see the lifestyle, especially if you're a med student. You have 6 years of schooling, then another 3 years of internship, then another 2 years of specialists, and then another 3 years of...
Your whole system's getting more and more and more lenient. It went from like...
No,
the first
but
that... First I spoke to 2 years national service. And I was like, once a weekend, once a month. It made me feel like that.
But you never let me get there. That was the whole thing from the start. You guys cut me off before I could finish it.
So you started off with this really hardcore, like, national service thing, but then ended up being a kind of like, oh, if you want to do something, you kind of, that's a hard drive, don't step on
it. Yeah, but that's a subber.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
Blair's stepping on hard drives here.
Sorry.
Illegal stuff, no.
Yeah. No, that's on the other
side. But, I mean, that's what I would have done anyway, because that's the program that, if you're not going straight into uni... What are you going to do?
Well, I do go straight.
Drugs? Yeah, exactly. You're going to do drugs. So you go to fucking national service for 6 months, get straightened out, and if you
If
you like it, well, lo and behold, there's now a job open for you with 100% guarantee of a job in that particular armed forces you're going to choose. If not, you leave it and you have a fantastic reference on your resume.
But it's not a fantastic reference for everyone.
Yeah,
it's like an arts degree.
You have completed your national service with a good result and no bad stuff. Good job. Here's a sticker.
Steal a gun on go on a killing spree. Good work.
Here's a gold star.
Hey, it's not Korea.
I don't think
he probably just lost at StarCraft or something.
But I mean, like,
it's unrelated to
Australia's become so individualistic. Australians as a whole look out for themselves before, when it used to be all about mateship and everything like that. Well, wouldn't you think bringing in that sense of camaraderie again into our society would be beneficial? Without,
I don't know, all this camaraderie sounds kind of like communism to me.
The comrade.
and then the Soviet national anthem plays and Blair just rips up a mask and
it's like... I know the English version. I'm not very good at the Russian stuff.
No. Russian's a pretty hard language.
Oh, it's very hard. Lots of rolly R's and...
Yeah, and all the palatal sounds. Yeah. Can't even do those.
Well, I'm for national service. We've got a maybe and an undecided.
In good old brain exchange fashion, there's been no real conclusion. Before we move on a totally unrelated topic, which is Pokemon.
I think that's how it should be, though, because we're not, like, gurus. We're not amazing dispensers of knowledge. We're just regular people.
And like Professor Oak.
Yeah.
Who came when he heard you did very well against the Elite Four.
Professor Oak's not that great when, like, he can't even remember
his grandson's
name.
What was his name?
Tell whether you're a boy or girl from looking and talking with
you. Oh, what time it was.
Androgyny's a good thing, you know.
So
what's the time?
What's your name? Are you a boy or a girl? What's going on? So what is Professor Oak's grandson's name?
What is the new Pokemon X? Yeah.
No, what's your professor's grandson's name?
Fag.
Douchebag.
Nintendo's actually brought in a system because it's now online. You can't use offensive names. So you know that annoying Pokemon that like you threw 10 Master Balls at? You didn't have Master Balls. 10 Ultra Balls at and you couldn't catch it.
And you called them like, cunt.
And you finally caught it, yeah. And you said, stupid cunt face or whatever the
filthy most nigger thing. Fucking non-catch piece of shit run away.
Yeah. That.
Yes, I know that feel.
Now you can't do that. The best you can do is like poop or something.
Can't you call it K-N-E-E-G-R-O-W?
You can try to get around.
You Negroth, you.
Negro. Yeah, you can do stuff like that.
Well,
I caught one of my Pokemon Titty, which is apparently perfectly acceptable, and Spike wasn't, so.
Spike?
Yeah.
Well, I've now decided I'm not going to buy Pokemon X or Y.
But you should definitely buy it because it's awesome.
What's Professor Oak's name in it?
The professor is Sycamore. So he's also named after a tree.
Sycamore. Oh, they all named after trees. Just got
there. Oh. Wow! I just took a sec, 2 seconds longer than Michael, and my life is now changed completely.
It's a Zen moment when you realize the Pokemon professors are named after trees. Wow.
My life kind of like ancient just, wisdom. My life just got a whole lot
it's
more
like
complete.
Ancient Nintendo, ancient Game Freak, knew something about the world that they didn't let on.
I have to admit...
the wind blowing through the oak leaves.
Yeah.
I was saying to Blair and to you, and then Blair was saying to you, and I was saying to Blair, that the game mechanics of Pokemon haven't changed
since 98.
But is it still a good game?
See, the core mechanics of it haven't changed, but they've made so many improvements to how those mechanics work that it's actually a lot better.
So it's kind of like an old hooker with lots of makeup on.
No.
Wow.
It's like an old hooker who's had heaps of plastic surgery.
Oh.
It's like a Benjamin Button hooker. She used to be old and not very good. Like,
how about
it was hard work getting it going with her. But now she's young and attractive, and you really want to... Like, she's in 3D now, so...
No, but how about we just say...
High def graphics.
When she yeah. first came out, she was really young and on the scene, obviously being above 18, of course.
No.
And, and inexperienced, so they had the kind of... the breakup in how the mechanics worked, and then over time it got more and more refined... And then it got to the point where it's mature wisdom.
Well, the Benjamin Button thing makes her get better at it and also
younger.
Better looking.
I'm kind of lost on the analogies here.
But that doesn't work because you can't go backwards.
What?
You can't devolve. You can only evolve.
Oh,
yeah.
I see what you're saying.
But maybe.
You can breed, though. And
maybe
then get a baby Pokemon.
Well, true, but maybe
in the daycare.
Yeah.
In the daycare, old people supervising, there's breeding going on. Scandal. Scandal.
Maybe.
And Ditto's just breeding with everything. All the other Pokemon are just getting on Ditto. Just,
that's because it's just a blob. Everyone can shove
yeah.
their stuff in that.
Doesn't matter what parts you got, Ditto will take them.
But maybe it was, you know, the original red and blue came together and made yellow. And then yellow, that offspring, got together with... gold and silver and had
so
a three had a kinky
like,
three-way and now we've got when Diamond came out it was like the great great grandchild.
Wait, what's X and Y going to produce? A female
is
feminism
dead.
No, X plus Y is male because females have two X chromosomes.
Opposite of feminism. Sexism.
And then you get a spin-off game which is absolute shit and that can be called the Down Syndrome.
They're going to make Zed, right?
Sure.
They would have to make Zed
because they all like, that's what they did with gold and silver and then platinum.
And then also heart gold and heart silver.
And heart platinum?
And diamond.
I don't know. Yeah, it was like ruby, sapphire, and diamond. But they didn't do it with black and white. Then they just came out with black and white.
Okay.
So.
Do you find with your... Because I've... After this hype of Pokemon...
Great.
Great.
They should have... You
it's
can only... Like, all the
Pokemon
are just like... Just a grey blob, amorphous blob of grey.
Missing no.
And their names are just the number of their Pokedex.
50 Shades of Grey Pokemon.
Yes.
That would be so bad.
They'd only be 50 Pokemon, though.
150 Shades of Grey. Or what is it now? 786 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, something like that. I caught over 150 Pokemon. I'm like, yes. Oh, wait. I'm nowhere near the end.
No.
So what I was going to say is I recently got into Poke MMO. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Is that Pokemon MMO?
Shit. Really?
Wow, yeah, it is. An expert.
It's on the computer.
Is it like Red and Blue?
It's Fire Red, Fire Blue. But they've recently put in Gold and Heart, as buggy as
when I first played it?
It's not that buggy anymore. It's still buggy. It's still laggy as fuck, but it's not that bad. But I start getting into that. I got into that ages ago, actually, but I just started getting back into it when all the hype over X and Y came out. And I found that it's got really monotonous because I think it's because I've already played Pokemon, Pokemon Red and Blue, so many times. Now, do you find, because it's a new game with a different map and a different world and different Pokemon and different characters,
a new story...
Do you, even though the story would be exactly the same,
crap
it would be the equivalent of Team Rocket and catching the Pokemans.
Someone's stealing the Pokemans, trying to destroy the world, something stupid.
And beating the Elite Four.
And all you have to do is prove that your bond between you and your Pokemans is strong enough.
And then imprison them all.
Love between all the people. And
but do you find that the game has got for you so far to a point of monotony where you just say, fuck this.
Nah.
And you put it down.
I think the way they keep refreshing it with a new skin over the top, it keeps its appeal for long enough.
And there's also a sense of nostalgia as you pick it up again.
See, that's what I would have thought.
It builds upon, so the more and more you engage with previous ones.
But see, the new one is a good game even without that. It's just a good game.
Because you say nostalgia, but surely I should feel an immense amount of nostalgia picking up Fire Red on the Poke MMO. Because it is Red Pokemon, which was the first one I played back in 98, 99, whenever it was that I actually got it.
Yeah.
Now, that sense of nostalgia just isn't working for me. Like, I still play it because...
I went back and played Yellow recently. I got the nostalgia.
It is a good game, but do you think maybe it's because I'm not on a handheld device, I'm on a computer?
Yeah, it could be.
I think that
could well be part of it.
I downloaded Emerald for my tablet recently on an emulator. And I just wasn't feeling it. Like, when I played it, it wasn't the same. And I got really bored really fast. As then when I picked up my literally black and white Game Boy and chucked in Red, I was like, whoa. I mean, I didn't play through that much of it, but I played for longer than my tablet.
I played for ages on Yellow.
Mm.
I did the Mew glitch.
What's the Mew glitch? How do you get Mew?
You get an Abra and you teleport. Like, you walk up to this trainer and teleport just as he gets his exclamation mark, and then the game thinks you're in a battle when you have to walk to a specific trainer, start a battle, and you can catch a Mew. The best thing about the original generation of Pokemon was all the glitches.
That red candy glitch.
I just had a party of six
missing rare candies.
Damn rare candies. They're not rare anymore for me. Master balls.
Oh, I've got 9999 master balls.
So, Zapdos, you want to fucking kill all my Pokemans.
And Squirtle Swamps.
Hey, a Pokemon I don't have. Master Ball.
Yeah.
Okay, quest.
I could do with another Rattata.
Did your Pokemon game ever, corrupt because you had so many missing codes?
Mine was whenever I walked into the Safari Park, literally, the whole screen would fill with bins. And then if you moved any... There's a 4x4 grid that you can move in. If you tried to interact or walk on top of the bins, the game would reset. And then it would go back to me being in the Safari Park. And I'd be inside the Safari Park. And I had all these weird bugs. I'd go into my PC and my other Pokemon would be all replaced with missing though. And then when I withdraw one of them, it would be missing though. But then when I put it back in, it would make that one a real Pokemon, change all them to non-missing no, and then other ones with missing no's in my party, and
See, that's why I never kept missing no's. Sometimes you catch them just so you could get double the stuff, but then you just release it straight away.
My glitch was just after I beat the Elite Four, I was going to a battle with my friend of mine, and as soon as we connected in the Poke Center to battle... My glitch fucked up my game and actually went over to his game. Battle cable. I went through the battle cable, deleted all his Pokemans, So replace him with level 1 versions. So he had a level 1 Dragonite, and my game got replaced with all of his Pokemon. So I got all of his Pokemon. His got put to level 1. I got all his Pokemon. The game froze, shut off, turned it back on. I have all his Pokemon. And then I'm like, well, that happened. I can't trade with him because he's got, he physically couldn't connect again. And then in the next few days, I'm walking around with all of the Pokemon, all 150 of them, all level 100, just through the trade. Sorry, 151. And I go to the shopping center to get the Mew through the trade. Like,
The real shopping center, the real event, to get the Mew. Yeah, in Melbourne.
I was there. And I was literally next in line. I turned on my Game Boy, conserving battery. Conserving battery and missing no corruption, lose the whole game. Second in line, for like 3 hours.
Just plug it in anyway.
Just plug it in, infect Nintendo's game.
Everyone gets it.
I probably just plugged it in anyway. I don't remember. I probably did. I wouldn't have lined up for that long. Yeah.
Sounds.
We will. I think I finished my thesis now, so more episodes should come out soon.
Yeah.
We'll have to fly Blair over again to come on another episode.
Yeah. Or maybe you guys could fly to Melbourne.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe.
Blair, have you liked the Brain Exchange Facebook?
I have liked the Brain Exchange Facebook, and I have listened to about... I want to say 10, but I don't actually know how many you've got up, so it could be more than, like, you could have less than 10, and yeah, I'll just be like,
it's 15, 16.
Yeah, I think I've listened to them. I normally put them on when I'm doing monotonous work for uni, and so I just get like that drown out sort of.
We just drown out your misery.
Like, I'll put this podcast on Facebook and I'll apologize to everyone saying, just listen to it. I mean, it's good fun. You guys weren't enjoying it as much as I did making it, but it's all right.
See, if you listen to this by being forward from Blair, the listeners should definitely like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
They should definitely follow us on Twitter. Google Plus, we've got an email,
Google Plus.
Got a website, we've got a blog.
Google Plus is the future.
We've got essentially every form of social media, yet we've got almost no one that contacts us through it.
Yeah, so we need more people to contact us. Do we have a Tumblr?
Round up.
Do we have a subreddit? It would be like, you know, if you didn't have all the forms of social media, it would be like...
Hello? Hi, it's the 1930s. Can we have our words and clothes and shitty airplane bag?
Let's go, kid.
Call you back, 1930s. And hey, watch out for that Adolf Hitler. He's a bad egg.
If you don't have social media, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you soon, everyone.
Bye.
Adios.
Checking
is it recording? Is it still recording?
Yeah,
it's probably not.
It's been like
it hasn't been recording the whole time. We've just been talking.
It's been now.
Honestly,
we might need to wrap it up.
Oh wow!